Right, what's going on today? Welcome to another episode of the Halfcast Podcast. Very special episode today. Happy to have him. The man, the myth, the legend, Nathan, the Prince of Penrith, Cleary. What's going on, brother? Thank you for coming in.
Not much, bro. Looking forward to having a chat and yeah, we're good.
I'm not going to lie, but this was one of my most stressful episodes. I thought I was trying to write it down and I was like, as I was writing it, I realized that like NRL has some of the most ruthless fans. So I was just like, I'm going to get absolutely roasted after they look at these questions because I've got no idea about football. Just starting that out there.
Bro, just, it's chill. It's chill. No, you give me shit all the time, so just do that.
That's true. But first off, congrats on the win. But are you still celebrating or you've come down now?
Yeah, it's been it was pretty cool. Like obviously a crazy win and had a fair bit of celebrations after. It took me about a week to recover just from those celebrations. Yeah. But it's actually been good just to chill and sort of try to take it all in, catch up with people that I haven't for a while, family, friends, and go away tomorrow. I'm pretty much away for most of the break. So I usually like to get away in the off season, just step back from footy and go see places I haven't seen before and stuff like that.
That's what I was going to ask. As soon as that win happens, does it take a bit of pressure off? Like obviously the whole year it's on your back. Yeah. So does it just take that pressure off or are you already thinking about the next season?
Nah, it does, bro. It does take a lot of the pressure off. And, obviously, as you said, everything's sort of building towards that one day.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's good to get a win there. And as I said, just try and soak it in and get around different people. But then, I do like to sort of get away from footy for a bit and sort of get out of that, I guess, spotlight and the footy bubble and, just try to have some time away. And then, it's hard to not think already about what's going to happen, but, we have enough time through sort of pre-season and stuff like that to build and sort of build that mentality too. So.
And has it been pretty chaotic since the win?
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. Like, it's pretty cool though. You walk down the street and people are all wearing Panthers gear still, just yelling out, saying hello.
Haven't taken it off since the game.
No, legit. Down High Street, they've worn it since the game. But it is cool to see. And I think it is really good for the area. It generates that cool feel. But it's pretty chaotic.
Hello. Do you ever get worried about someone hacking your personal data on your computer or phone? Do what I do. Use NordVPN. What is NordVPN? It's a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. Luckily, with NordVPN, I'm protected from hackers. It is easy to use and you connect with one click. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/halfcast to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus 4 months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Especially like me not knowing a lot of the NRL like topics and games and everything, but I wanted to more get on like the adversity that you've gone through. Like I think that would be a topic that I could like talk on and just especially I remember talking to you when you first did your hamstring like this year. I know that must have been like a bit of a hard time. You didn't know how bad it was and everything. Yeah. How do you sort of switch your mentality and also where does the strength come to know that that doesn't matter and you're still going to be able to come through at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think it's sort of just been built over time through different experiences. I think being able to deal with adversity is something that, I've definitely grown with as I've gotten older and through different experiences. I think when I first came into NRL, it was something that, I totally didn't understand. I wasn't, around it. I just thought, I'm playing footy. This is what I've always loved doing. I get to play NRL. It's been a dream of mine forever. But once you actually reach it and you sort of face different adversities, you realize how much of a mental toll it is and how important the sort of mental side of it is. So I think that's something I've learned over time. And then you just look at this year, like the hamstring injury. Probably the toughest thing about that was it came off the back of an Origin loss where I didn't play as well as I would have liked. Sort of had adversity through that. And then I didn't get the opportunity to play the next two games. So as much as I was disappointed, I knew that, I sort of always had the mentality that, it could always be worse. Try and keep a positive mindset and just work hard. There's no point sort of, feeling sorry for yourself and sulking and that gets you nowhere. So, next day was just pretty much, mapped out what I need to do to get back and knew I was going to be, a bit fresher for the run into the finals and sort of positive through that.
What do you grab onto to push you through those times? Like, does Panthers have a really good team like going through or do you have like your support network or what's the go-to for you?
Yeah, I think I'm really lucky with the support network I've had. I think that's something that I've learned over time as well, is sort of prioritizing what opinions you listen to. You know, I think it's very easy when you're in the spotlight. There's just so many different opinions coming from everywhere, and you see them through different social media or media and stuff like that. And that's probably something when I was younger, I was listening to pretty much what everyone had to say.
Yeah.
Where now I'm really prioritized who I listen to, and that's sort of family, my teammates, coaches and close friends. So I'm really lucky with the support network I have there. And being a part of the Panthers group at the moment, like, fuck, they give me a lot of strength, just the boys and the sort of culture we have there, sort of getting around each other, sort of when the chips are down and then building out of that. And I think that's something that drives me, is I never want to let those guys down. So, and at the end of the day, you're still going into training when you're injured. So you want to, be a good person to be around and still lift up the group and help them.
Yeah. 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 I spoke to, I didn't speak to him. He did like a bit of a talk to, and Oliver was there.
Yeah.
And he explained, like, I don't know if they want to tell Penrith secrets, but
no.
The way he spoke about the mental side was the first time I've really heard that much lent on. I don't know if the other football teams are doing it, but when I was helping out some of the footy teams like a lot way back, there wasn't that much focus on there. And even with MMA, there's not that much focus on there. Yeah. So has there been a big shift in like culture for the, like, I don't know, do you do visualization? Do you do all of that like mental side?
Yeah. Well, even from when I first debuted, like, I didn't know anything about it. Like, we weren't doing it at all. Yeah. It's probably been admittedly through the stretch where I've had a big success, where we've actually, turned our focus to that and realized that pretty much it is important as the physical side. I think you always know how physically tough, MMA or even footy could be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the mental side of it's been a big focus for us, and it's been a big help in the success we've had. So it's a lot of visualization, sort of breathing.
Yeah.
Even just like being vulnerable amongst the group, sort of opening up about what you're experiencing, and then people get to know you better, and ultimately they'll work harder for you on game
more
day.
Trust. Yeah. More trust. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting, man, because I always say this, at this level, like, all of us are, all the athletes, they're all about the same like athletic capability. They're all about the same strength, same fitness.
Yeah.
But there's like, if you ask any like top athlete what the difference or the separating factor is, usually mental, the mentality, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or whoever turns up on the day, it's always the mental side, not the physical attributes. So, so interesting. What does Panthers try and do to do? Do they try and mitigate like releasing the injuries and stuff? Like, I noticed that on some of the posts, I think it was it your nose or your jaw or your tooth?
or my tooth?
No, I think it was your tooth. I don't know. You just got a wisdom tooth out, didn't you? Yeah, and they said he's out for the season.
Yeah.
Do Panthers try and mitigate like some of the stuff that's released, do you also lean into that? Is that part of it?
Yeah, well, that was through Origin, the whole tooth thing, and that was just blown way out of proportion. But I think that's one cool thing about like at Panthers is that we have built that sort of trust circle where, if something happens and like we talk about it, we're like, we don't want any of this to get out. Like, 9 times out of 10, it won't get out. There's some things that you can't control. So you might go down a train and there's media there at training, they see it. I think that's a real trust thing. And sometimes it is you have to be transparent with like the media and whatnot and say what the injury is and all that. But if it's saying like, say if you're playing with an injury, then like we've got a pretty good circle where it won't get out. And that way, teams probably won't target you as much.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And that's obviously the main reason. Because can that affect, like, I don't know, like gambling or anything? Like, obviously, if that gets out right, that already affects that. And I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it's easy. Like, it's pretty easy if you're a player to go home and sort of maybe just tell your family or something like that. But, I think, that's what we've built now to, it's word spreads so easily these days, particularly with social media and just, just word gets around so quick. So it's...
What do you think the big thing is with like I know you would get a lot, but the social media for maybe not your team in general, but like, you know, all the boys, like the some of them get a bad rep, and we know that's not what they like put onto the media. Like what they say that they are isn't those people. But I like that also that the boys are leaning into it.
Yeah.
They're like, if you don't know me and you're just going to tell me that's what the case is, I'm just going to lean into it anyway, because that's not me.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that, at the end of the day, you can't control, like, you can't really control what people are going to think of you. You can't please everyone. You know, I think it's a real culture where it is a tall poppy syndrome, like media and whatnot will build you up just so they can tear you back down.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's something that we've understood, particularly over the last few years. And you look at people sort of like Jerome individually, like he's probably someone that's copped the most hate. Though. He can sing. Very good singer. Very talented.
I didn't know
much
that.
Much better singer than me
that.
And you.
Like,
yeah, yes. So, but like, that's like, he's lent into that now. He's like, well, I'm not going to control what people think of me. I may as well play the villain role. And but, you know, I think it's important that people close to him, they know what his values are and what he's about, and his teammates. And, you know, I think that's one big thing we always talk about, is putting the team first and not jeopardizing that. But, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, there's a lot of haters out there. And, you know, that's one thing that you have to learn and deal with as well.
I don't understand what it is like with media. Like, you guys are under so much scrutiny for NRL. Like, I guess there's like certain different sports that are under a lot of scrutiny, but it seems like yous are under there a lot. Like, I guess it's the gentleman's game. I know they don't care about UFC really. Like, we sort of just glide under the radar. But I like, media still has sort of a bad light on us. I just saw in Daily Telegraph this morning, someone wrote that they want a ban on like UFC with before Volk's coming in. Like, when's it going to be banned? Like, and we've got some of the greatest fighters in ever.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the Volk fight?
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. Like,
yeah.
What a beast, man, just to take that on, 11 days notice. But I think that sums up what, I reckon that's like, sums up sort of like Australian culture as well.
Oh, me too,
like,
bro.
Just sort of like, fucking tough bastard.
Yeah, just have a crack. Really cool, have a go.
Like, and people love that shit, you know? Like, people love that.
It's a hard fight, but...
Very hard. Very hard. So it'll be interesting. But if there's one person that could do it, I reckon it'd be Volk.
Volk, for sure.
Like, I reckon it's hectic.
But, and do you watch, like, I don't know how much you watch, but, like, Kamaru Usman stepping in as well?
Yeah, bro,
it went from, like,
it's turning the craziest card, like, just how it's flipped so quickly.
Yeah, a mad card into like this craziest mad into like the best card ever.
Yeah,
but,
it's sick, bro.
But that was one thing as well that I really enjoyed that I was able to get you to see was it's taking you to the T-Mobile and in the Las Vegas for the Las Vegas card, and just getting to witness, like, I tried to explain to someone the other day that you got to see T-Mobile in the packed arena. Like, I know you've done the craziest experiences, but T-Mobile is like a coliseum. And then as you walk out, all the eyes, just like one person. And it was cool that there was me, you, and Ty walking out. And then, because obviously Ty is a crowd favorite, they all turned and just went and just screamed. And that was like the closest feeling you get to a walkout for a fight. And I was like, really cool that you got to experience that.
That was like, unbelievable for me. Like, you see it on TV, but actually being there and just understanding what it would be like to walk out with all eyes on you, and you're the only person in the octagon, you know what I mean? We're, like, for us, like, running out sick, like, everyone's going crazy, but you look along the line, there's another 12 guys alongside you to sort of have your back. Like, you go out there and you're putting your balls on the line, and it's just you. Like, I've ultimate respect for that.
No, I appreciate it. But yeah, it's such a cool, like, dynamic and different sides of the sport, because obviously you've reached the highest of highs, but just to go like, oh man, this is just a different aspect of sport, right? Yeah. Have you only ever done team sports?
Yeah.
Obviously football, but...
Yeah, only like competitively, I've only ever done team sports. Yeah,
interesting.
So, saying that was... It's a different side to what I've known, and I've always really enjoyed team sports. But it's a lot of respect, and even being there for your fight in Sydney, like, that was sick, bro. Like,
actually, I remember seeing you. Yeah, that was sick,
bro. Someone sent me a video, and I was literally just standing up clapping for about
The celebration. Minute, bro. Yeah. Have you seen the GIF? Like, I'm doing the celebration. You're in the back.
I was like just a happy kid, bro. Like, wow, that's mad. Like, but I was just like, I just got an adrenaline rush for you, obviously knowing you. Yeah. But it was just. It was so sick to see, and just sort of knowing like what goes into it, and even like like I was talking about, like sort of hate you get. I think it's easy for like fans to turn if you have a few losses, yeah. like, you know what I mean? So just seeing that in the flesh was mad.
Mad. And it's just moments in time, right? That's all we're just creating moments.
Yeah, exactly.
And everything. You're coming back from injuries, but also one cool thing that is, that I like about NRL is that if you have that loss, besides the, like say what the finals, because then you're out. Mm. If you have that loss, you get to like make it back the next week.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you can repay yourself with the fighting. Yeah. Fuck, we might not like 3-7 months. So that whole time you're just in there going.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine like just sitting there stewing on it for that long. Like probably the closest I've had to that was in 2020. We lost the grand final.
Yeah,
and Origin was after the season that year, so we lost Origin too. So that was like 3-4 months of just like sitting on it. I was just like, oh my god. But usually it's like it's like 1 week where you like you feel shit for like a day, and then it's like, all right, we're back on the horse. You know, where you guys, it's like, you got a lot of time to think about it. And
even with injuries being in that team sport, which is pretty cool, because you just have like whole like I'm just talking with your knee now and stuff. You just have like actually team groups where that's all the injured players, right?
Yeah,
and then like you, and even that helps, like just having those people. So like for us, it's like
just feel it,
just turn it up, like like you gotta figure it out, brother.
Tough.
If you don't have like this, and this is actually the first time that I experienced it with City Kickboxing, where they have that team environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like no matter what, like you're still at training doing everything, but over here with me and my dad, bro, we've just been figuring it out on the
It's crazy, man. we're lucky with that aspect of the whole team environment, because even if you are injured, you still feel like you're somewhat part of the team, because you're almost in a team in rehab. You've got someone looking after you.
Yeah.
Like it's cool. And do you reckon the City Kickboxing, like the team feel has helped?
Yeah, definitely, man. Like even they were giving me this. I said this on the last podcast, but we had a big team dinner, and Eugene just explained that this dinner represents like the team swapping over and helping us out, and now us doing our job as like thanks to you.
Yeah.
And then he goes, and here we're going to give out these, which is like the blessed stone.
Mm.
Like he said we give this to people who we think are like have the same mana as us, and like help out the team and stuff. I was like, bro, I was like getting my black belt for jiu-jitsu. Like this is the best gym in the world, and they're telling me thanks. Like I felt. One of the things that I always felt like being from going there is I felt very selfish because you go to this gym and it always feels like you're just taking because they have so much knowledge to give, and like I was like, what am I giving back? So that's why I always made an effort as to either go straight away and help out for camp, like Eugene asked me to come help for Izzy's camp after I just finished my fight camp.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, I was already away for 9 weeks. Yeah. But I like came home, told my daughter and the wife, was like, I got to go away for another four or five weeks for Izzy's camp. And I was like, that's when I was like, oh, okay, he's coming and he's helping us as well. But just how they talk about fighting, man, and how like it's just another level. Actually, one thing that I asked him about was it was very interesting. I was like, I watched, I think I came with you guys. I can't remember to watch, to see how you study. You always study tape, like, or like you're studying your position, studying the player. And I spoke to Eugene, and I was like, fuck, I hope he doesn't care that I tell this story. I was like, can you like teach me how to like study tape better? Because that's probably one of the things that I'm lacking in, like, I'm just not good. I can watch tape. I can understand what's going on, but listening to how those guys break down footage, bro, they'll like talk about how like the foot placement is pointed to the right a little bit, and that affects like where the fucking punch is gliding by the foot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they're breaking it down like that. So I was asking him, and he was like, honestly, with some, with a lot of fighters, we don't make you watch too much of the opponent, because with fighting, it's so much different to football.
Mm.
With fighting, you can start in your head overthinking about your opponent and thinking they're better than you, or like it can break you rather than make you.
Yeah.
And he goes, the only person that we don't do it with is Dan Hooker, because he doesn't give a fuck. he wants it every day and still go in there and bash him. So that was just like, just interesting. Yeah. Like that's how they think about fighting. They're always thinking about like what can affect the fighter or what. So
really cool.
All right, now to the grand final. First of all, again, congratulations, but I don't want to butcher it, explaining. It'd be like you explaining a fight to me. So, have you already watched it back as a team?
Well, we sort of just watched it individually, like, because we sort of broke straight after after the game. And then, but yeah, I sort of was like just watching highlights here and there, but I sat down last week and ended up watching the full game. And
yeah,
but bro, like, honestly, yeah, it still doesn't really feel real.
Yeah,
like, what happened and just how it happened. But yeah, it was good being able to watch it back.
Mad. Oh, I'm getting tingles. But just like, do you break it down at first, or did you just watch it as like an enjoyable moment first?
Nah, I watched it as just like an enjoyable moment, like just as a fan. So like, obviously the final try, like, admittedly, I'd watch that a few times.
Rewind.
Oh, there's just like, rewind. I just could, like, on Instagram, I was just like all different angles of it, and I was like just trying to soak it in, like how it happened. Because in my mind, like, that sort of last, I reckon 20 minutes, I was just in that sort of flow state where I didn't even really like function of what was going on. I was just playing, and like, it was a cool feeling. But then being able to watch it back and understand what was happening and the sort of feelings I had and relating that to the game was, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask that, and you answered it, but I want to go more into it. So I go, where's your head at like that 62 minutes? Mm. It's like, are you thinking I've got to step up, or are you just playing footy?
Yeah, like, well, like, so I had a similar feeling. Like, after Ezra Mam scored that third try, I was 24-8. And, like, I was the first 20 minutes of that second half, like, I was just having a shocker. Like, it was terrible. And it took me back to the 2020 grand final, where I had, like, similar moments where they weren't great, but I sort of dwelled on them for way too long in that game, and it actually affected, like, what was happening in the game.
Yeah.
And like 80 minutes is a long time, and 20 minutes is a long time, as it turned out. But you know, I just learned a lesson that day that if you do make mistakes, there's no point, you know, kicking stones about it, because that's going to affect what you do next. Yeah. It's the most important thing is that next thing, and that's whether it's you do a good thing or a bad thing. It's the most important thing is that next play. And I'm glad that sort of happened in 2020. I wasn't at the time, but I think it allowed me to do what I did in the most recent grand final. And sort of my headspace was, I was sort of looking up at the clock and the scoreboard, and I think I'd just let in the try pretty much. And I was thinking, this honestly feels like a nightmare, but it felt like a free shot, because like we'd come that far, I'd worked so hard to get there, and it was like, well, I'm not just going to roll over. Like, I'm just going to give it a crack and see what happens. And I think a lot of the boys had that exact same mentality.
Yeah.
And then like, momentum's a funny thing. One thing happened, Moss scored that try, or actually Critter jumped on a loose ball, and that sort of changed the game. And from there, we just got going. And I still sort of always felt like it was quite far out of reach, but Critter scored a try, and it was still 10 minutes to go, and we're down by 4. I remember just looking up at the clock, I was like, fuck, we're like right in this. Like, we actually got heaps of time here, and we've got all the momentum. And it's just how it worked out.
Man, there's heaps to unpack there. But so like, one, like, that's just growth, right? Like, just and that everything happens how it's supposed to, because you had that loss. But do you think, like, that's only because all of your boys know each other so well, right? Yeah, that you were all willing to fight for each other. Mm. So that was my other question. It was like, do you step up, or do all the boys step up at the same time? And that's what happened. Hey, the boys just all stepped up.
Well, I think comes back to sort of the trust thing as well, and knowing what we're capable of. Like, I think we've been not in positions like that before, but we've been in positions where we're down on the scoreboard with, probably not too long to go, but everyone still feels like confident that we can do something. And I think that comes back to like preparation and training and, just sort of trusting and relying on each other.
Is that like a winning attitude, do you reckon, as well? Like, now you expect to win, like, sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah, I reckon it's hard to fake it, but if you've got that experience of sort of like a winning culture and that's what you're out there to do, it's a feel thing.
Yeah, like,
to be honest, like, I think there was, when it was 24-8 and we were behind the try line, like, there wasn't a whole heap getting said. I think people were sort of like thinking, but I know deep down within everyone, it was sort of like, we're not gonna, we're not gonna give up. Like, we're still gonna have a crack and see what happens. And
because, like, and I'm not saying with you guys, but you see some of the, like, seen some of these young kids coming up, like, there's a lot of quid in them. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, when I went and watched like one of the young boys games, and once the scoreboard starts going up, they're just like, oh, everyone just chucks in the towel. Obviously, yous are at the top of the level, but it's cool to see that no matter what, yous knew that you're going to win. Do you think that is also for the Broncos as well, that like they hadn't maybe experienced the winning as much? Like, do you know that that might have affected it? Like,
potentially.
They got a bit excited. Like
bro, I remember thinking, I think it was when they scored, like to make it 24-8. I was like, if they keep playing like this, like I don't know how we're going to come back. But I think when they got to that like position, I don't know, maybe they did get like a little bit comfortable. Or,
what was your head going into with the game with the your finger old?
That was fine. That was another thing that was sort of blown out of proportion. Like
what, blown out of proportion?
Well,
it was going the other way.
Yeah, I know. But it's like,
oh, I put extra spin on it.
Bit extra. To be honest, like this, the finger I dislocated had been sore like most of the year. So I was getting it taped early in the year, so it wasn't too different anyway. Once it got popped back in, it's not too bad. It's just a bit of a lump.
I can't say nothing.
Look at, you know the feeling.
No, that's so ugly hair. We're not gonna be hair models, but and where do you where do you go from here, bro? Like, I know some of the boys are obviously moving. Do you still think that you will have a have the team for next year? Like, what? I know it's early, bro. Getting into relax mode, but
I have thought about it. Like, you know, I think with the culture we've built, like I'll go into every season always thinking that we can win it. You know what I mean? Nice. I think it's that sort of winning culture, but it's also just the people around us and knowing that, you know, there's new people coming in with new opportunities, there's young guys coming up. Like, you only have to look at this year. I had like Tito on the wing, who first full year of first grade killed it. Had other guys coming in from other clubs. And, you know, I think through this run, we've had significant guys leave every year. And, you know, it's sad to see them go, but that's just how it is, unfortunately. Obviously, Critter and Spencer are two massive ones this year. They've been a part of this sort of run over the last 4 years and been a massive part of it and sort of from the area as well. But, I'm pretty confident that there'll be young guys that step into their shoes and do the job. And it's sort of – it's responsibility on us as sort of leaders to build them up and lift them up with us as well. And, you know, it's something that I find exciting.
Yeah, it's sort of bittersweet, isn't it? Like you guys get so good that makes you worth more money.
I know. Yeah, the price tag just goes up and you just poach by the clubs. But in saying that, it's good to have such great memories with those guys leaving too. Like that's something that we'll be able to share together for the rest of our lives.
A lot of boys playing rep footy now, right? And what's in the Toa team? In the Tonga team? Are you playing?
I'm out with the knee. So, but you know, it's good to watch all those boys represent.
Fully tear. You just got surgery yesterday.
Just a little PCL tear. So, got to wear this for like 4 weeks.
And then, easy work. Yeah. So rest in for next year. Then
for next year.
But I've been hearing a lot of goat talk. I'm not going to ask you if you think you're a goat. I'm going to ask you, like, what do you define as the goat?
It's a tough question. You know, I think...
Thank you.
Very wise. I think that, you know, I think the GOAT question is always going to be just an opinion. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think... Yeah, there's you're never going to be able to say who the GOAT is. It's like Michael Jordan versus LeBron. Like, people are going to argue that... See, I don't even know. Like, because I grew up watching LeBron, I love LeBron, but I watched The Last Dance, so I love MJ. I'm more of the impression that we should just appreciate, particularly through different eras, like you just got to appreciate who was sort of the best player through that era. And, you know, at the end of the day, I it's always just going to be sort of barbershop talk, like who is the best. It's not saying that, honestly, like it's not saying that drives me. Like I would... You know, it would be great to get to the end of my career and have that sort of legacy that where people talk about you as one of the greats. But at the end of the day, it's just going to be people's opinions. So,
So, in saying that, then what would you like? Obviously, you don't think that you've accomplished everything. Like, you're so young still in the game. Yeah. What else do you want to accomplish?
I think that I've still got like a long way to go. Like, I honestly see myself sort of like just getting started and tapping into sort of, I guess.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, but like that's just I think that's just who I am. Like I always feel I can get better. I don't think you'll ever be perfect, but you can always chase like sort of perfection. That's sort of my mindset, and It's just an enjoyable journey too, constantly seeing yourself evolve and not only as a player but as a person. And, you know, you go back to sort of the GOAT talk. I think anyone that you label as a GOAT has always got that sort of that mentality, I reckon, like that killer mentality to be the best or be a part of, you know, the best team. And that's something that I always want to do. I want to lift people up around me and want to have success as a team. And, you know, I don't think that's – I think for me it's not – at the end of my career it's not going to be – like I don't want to tick all these different things off. Like I think one thing for me, I would love to, you know, play better in the Origin arena and sort of have success there where I haven't had as much success as I would like. But I think it all comes back to sort of that mentality, preparation and being better as – yeah, just growing as a person, and success is a byproduct of that.
Nice, that's a good answer, bro. And I'll just ask you this because I saw this morning Eddie Jones threw out a. I'm glad I was the first one to ask the question about
nice,
it.
Nice.
News.
This will be clipped, Eric.
Yeah. He said that you're the only person that they would like to take across code.
Yeah.
Would you ever think of it? Or
yeah, maybe- I touched on this with the podcast with Ice. But you know, I think I never thought I would think of it. Like rugby league has always been my passion. I love rugby league. It's just all I know. But you know, there probably is a small part of me that sees that as a challenge that I wouldn't mind trying. But like, yeah, honestly, like, I don't know. I think it's a massive long shot.
Yeah.
Like as I said, you know, I still have so much I want to do in rugby league and, so much more as I want to grow there. And like rugby union is a quite foreign game to me.
And it'd have to be like perfect opportunity every
day.
Yeah,
hey, exactly.
Like,
bro. And like,
have to work out.
And like, I would have to put like a lot of time into that just to learn the game and respect it that way. Like I wouldn't want to just waltz in and think that it's just going to happen. Yeah. You know, I think the coolest thing about rugby union is sort of the World Cup being in Australia.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty cool. Like it is a global sort of game and
So it's a yes. Who's
No. Honestly, I don't know. Like I'm very sorry, happy.
Want to see the clickbait.
Yeah, no doubt it'll come. But yeah, I don't know. I'm very happy in rugby league.
Well, thank you, brother, for coming in. I'll leave it there. But actually, can we mention the beer?
Yeah.
The Drink West
beer? Yeah.
So obviously everyone knows that we're partners in Drink West. You have a special coming out?
Yeah, I got a limited edition coming out. So yeah, it's pretty cool and looking forward to launching that. So I have to get around it.
Is it? That's it? That's all the promo? Like, you can't release it?
Nah, you'll see. Oh, okay. I think they're releasing it maybe tomorrow night. So I don't know when this is dropping, but... I don't want to ruin the surprise.
We could, yeah, all right. Yeah, you're all right. All right, you're probably right. All right, well, thanks, brother, for coming in. I appreciate you.